new medical studies out this morning show young blood can improve lives. Researchers took old mice and gave them blood and blood proteins from young mice. They found the old mice showed improved muscle and brain function.
Scientists hope these mouse studies will lead to anti-aging treatments for humans. CBS News medical contributor Dr. David Agus is in Los Angeles. David, good morning.
Good morning, Charlie.
So tell us about these studies and what they mean.
It was something a cross between vampire and Frankenstein, where they took two animals and they hooked their blood supply together for 4 weeks, called parabiosis. And it was experiments that were originally done in the 50s that showed mice seemed to reverse aging. Now we know the mechanism. So three separate groups showed this. When you hook the blood together after 4 weeks, the stem cells in the brain and the muscle and the heart, they get activated and turned back on. And in fact, the young mice age and the old mice reverse age, and very powerful. Brain works better, they were able to get through a maze better, their muscles work better, so certainly very exciting findings.
And what does it mean for humans?
Well, the human clinical trials, the researchers say, will begin later this year. And the hope is that in these studies, they identified a particular protein, so you don't need all of the blood from the young person, you need that protein that may be able to reverse some of the effects of aging. So the dream is, instead of treating a disease, we actually change you so you're not aging and you can actually hopefully even reverse it. Has enormous implications for people with disease and people as they grow older.
You know, David, my understanding is that this was done on a particular strain of a mouse that was inbred. Do you think this could eventually be the fountain of youth, or at least help people with Alzheimer's and other diseases?
Well, the mice are the lucky ones, right? You look at all these rheumatic cancer treatments, they always help the mice. These experiments, as you say, were done in mice that were genetically identical. And so will it translate to humans? The true answer is we just don't know. And so the experiments will be done, but it really is hope that not slowing aging, which a lot of studies have shown with various drugs, but this actually reversed the changes. So there clearly is something here. These are the best science journals with really well done science, but it will take a while before we understand how to control it and use it appropriately and safely in humans.
You might want to get your little pen and your little pad out, because we're going to go real hard in the paint on transhumanism, immortality, and we're basically going to, I don't know, prove the ideas and the theories of adrenochrome without implicating Tom Hanks, I guess. You know you love the Tom Hanks. You know he wouldn't do that, would he? In fact, someone on the IG hit me up and said that he's in a new movie talking about, I don't know, abducting kids or something. I don't know. I got to look into it. Now listen, Newsweek, they published this article called, it's entitled, "Can Blood from Young People Slow Aging? Silicon Valley Has Bet Billions It Will." And I read it for you because it's really boring. And I read the whole thing and I took notes and I'm going to explain the whole thing to you because I care. We're going to break down, I mean, I'm basically going to explain to you how the transhuman agenda is at play here. You could take this and run with it and say, yep, this is the adrenochrome thing. You're going to hear about how these nerds are going to kill us with some wild experiments they're doing on these animals. They're like, they're cutting animals in half and sewing them together. I don't know. Seems a little like a bad idea to me. And what else are we going to talk about? Oh, then we're going to go in the conclusion. You got to stick around for the conclusion because I did a lot of homework for you now. We're going to get real smart. We're going to use big words. And we're going to talk about philosophy of Immanuel Kant. Kant? I don't even know how to say it. I took one semester of philosophy in college. It was very cool. We didn't talk about Kant or Kant. I don't even know how to pronounce it. But I'm going to talk to you about it. And it's all going to make sense. And you're going to say, you know what, Isaac? These nerds are going to kill us. And before they do that, they're going to not kill the elites. And if we have time, maybe I'll segue into this Yuval Harari book, Sapiens, that I keep talking about. I'm tweeting notes from the book because it's like blowing my mind. I'm like, oh, okay, this all makes sense. Now I get it. It all makes sense. This is what they wanted to do. Has been in place since the agricultural revolution. myth building for control is essentially it. Now, real quickly, we do this fun thing once a month. I do the shout outs for my people on the supporter systems. I got 3 supporter platforms. And if you sign up on the Patreon or the VIP section at IlluminatiWatcher.com, link in the show notes, you could sign up at tier 2, 3, and 4. Get the shout outs once a month. We do it. And it's my way of saying thank you for the support that these folks give. I mean, there's a lot of good supporters. There's a tier 1. But I try to throw some perks at tier 2 and 3 for the upper tiers. And this is what we do. So let's get into it. So first, we're going to go inside the VIP section on IlluminatiWatcher.com. Tier 3, folks. The Alkaline OG Granola Wokesters. Cheryl, always holding it down. Jason and Brandon, always holding it down. Thank you. VIP section, tier two, the OG Granola Wokes. Oh, and we'll get that later. Let's go down the list here. We got Leslie, we got Cosmic Blues 27, Winston, Bob, Papa Dom, Leslie, Matthew, Allen, David, Felix, Chris, and Hunter going in on a twofer. Timothy, Larry, Trina, Crystal, and the great Marisa. The great Marisa. She knows who she is. And Marisa's been on the show. If you know who we're talking about here, she wrote a great book called The Big Shebang. If you haven't heard that, it's very important. In fact, it'll get into a little bit of what we talk about today with the Gnosticism kind of elements. If you want to take it there, you know, totally up to you. Now we head over to Patreon, where I got tier 2s and 3s all intermingled. The OG Granola Wokes and the Alkaline OG Granola Wokesters. And oh, before I forget, if you're on tier 3 on either the VIP section or Patreon, hit me up for a book. I had to switch things around because Vimeo kicked me off the platform. I could no longer get the videos. Now all the videos are going on Rockfin. Yes, I know. This is also very confusing. But if you go to Illuminati Watcher and go to the VIP link there at the top, you'll see the differences of the 3 platforms. But I had to kind of shift things around. So now tier 2 and 3 get the monthly live stream, which I got a schedule with you guys. Then tier 3 now gets a signed copy of my first alien book. So hit me on the email if you're on tier 3 and you haven't heard from me yet. Hit me up. Hit me on the email. You know where to find me. Hit me on the messages on Patreon. I read all those messages. And tell me you want your damn book. And if you already bought Use Your Illusion 1, I'll send you a different one. We'll hash it out on email. Okay, let's get into it. J. Saint Murder, Candace, Luke, Sarah, Beck Bordas, S.A., Jessica, Marisa. Damn, we got double dippers. You guys are too kind of double dipping like this. You know you don't have to do that, right? I appreciate you for doing it, but I appreciate that's like next level support. That's like, I don't even know how to repay that. That's very nice of you. Aubrey. Oh, now here's an interesting one from Scotland. I'm told this person reached out to me and said that the MH in the name is pronounced with a V. So I'm still going to butcher it. Viri? Vari? Oh, God. Vari? All right. Let me know what I did wrong there. Robbie. Jiggy Mama. Stephanie. James. The Jamsy. Winner of the joke contest. Amy. Eddie. Taryn. G-Man Jacko. Tyler. Liz. Cheryl, Marjorie, Premier 65, Christy, Vermont Hip Hop Collective, Joe Sauce, Charles, Daniel, Zach, Tyler Durton from Fight Club. Is he on the list? Yes, he's on the list. Joshua, another tier 3 there. Hey, you know, again, if you're on the tier 3 and I haven't given you a free signed paperback, hit me up. Russell Dragon, that is. Excuse me. Chris. Austin, Ramona Frankenstein, Sarah, Tanya, Brandon, Raymond, Jacob, Alan, Sam I Am, Phil Goodrich Art, still surfing, or stuck in quarantine, wherever you are, Brooke, Jason, Suze W, Sorcha, Jennifer, Betty, Thomas, Cheryl Double Dipping. I think she's triple dipping, if I'm not mistaken, on the Rockfin too. So special shout out to Cheryl, Barry, Roxy, Crystal, Inge, Brian, Ashton, Heather, Allie, Renee, Cece, Spryute, Joe Nips in the house, Brandon, Brian, Yak, still holding it down, David, M. Gibb, Darcy, Jeff, Ailmac, Prophet 7, Denali, Jade, Pragmatic Chick, Taylor Blake, still holding it down. Taylor, I think I owe you a book. Hit me up. William, Alexandria, J-Po, the OG, the one of the first OGs from the Patreon, Katie, Kara, and Big Fezzik, still holding it down. Big Fezzik, still the reigning champ. So shout out, everyone. Thank you for the support. If you want to support the show, you know where to go. Hit the link in the show notes and check it out. All right, now let's get into the show. Let's get into the stuff. What you came here for. I'm going to break down this article for you. I read the whole thing, took notes, and Newsweek only gives you like 5 free articles a month or something like that. So if you want to read it, you better leave that little tab in your browser open, unless you want to give Newsweek money every month. What they're talking about is this international global bio company, Grifols. They bought this other company called Alkahest. Doesn't really matter. But this Alkahest is a company founded by Stanford neuroscientist Tony Wiscore and Saul Vieta. And what they did basically is that they were publishing these papers showing that blood from young mice was able to restore the brains of elderly mice. And the idea here is that due to the experiments in the lab, they think that they can treat Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. And they call this sort of science, they call it geroscience, okay? And if you look that up, it's like this combination of biology and chronic disease and health and aging. But it's looking at it from the cellular level and trying to understand on the sort of microscopic frame of reference what's going on. And they already know that aging is a risk factor, right? Aging drives the chronic diseases. And this geroscience is how another angle on which to fix it. And it's not like just studying one disease, because they've got lots of places that study just Alzheimer's or just Parkinson's. This is a different, it's a shift in viewing this. It's looking at the body and the aging process as the disease. And this is why you've got all these, like 23andMe and Ancestry, like they collect the DNA, and the conspiracy is that 10, 20 years down the road, when they master all this kind of wacky Frankenstein stuff, they can be like, hey, you know, we had your DNA sample from 2005, 2010, whatever, back when you were healthy, and for the right price, we can make you whole again. That's the idea. That's the conspiracy. I'm going to read you, I got little quotes from the article here I want to read you that are very important. The idea that aging and illness go hand in hand is, of course, nothing new. What's new is the newfound confidence of scientists that aging can be measured, reverse engineered, and controlled. Now, this is the attitude of the elites, the technopaths, as we call them. If you listen to my shows about, I don't remember which one. It was the 8-part vaccine controversy series that I had to rename back in early 2020. I had a show about Bill Gates. And there's a clip from some documentary that was on Netflix about him. And he's talking about how he thinks technology can fix absolutely everything. Okay. And, there's good and bad with technology, right? But the, I'm trying to think of when to introduce the topic from the Sapiens book, but basically in the Sapiens book that I'm reading from Yuval Harari, he talks about how technology is, in theory, supposed to make our lives easier and faster, but it's having a negative effect. For example, he's like, you know, back in the day, we used to communicate. We'd write a letter and put it on a horse. And 4 days later, you get a letter in the mail back and, you know, things slow down. Nowadays, like, you just text message someone, you get an instantaneous communication, which you would think would save us a lot of time. We would have more time to do the things that matter. But that's not what we do. We try to jam more into our day. Because of the concept of time introduced through the agricultural revolution, or if you want to go to the occult route, the Saturnian influence of measurements and constraints. Because when you introduce the concept of time and you start focusing on days and months and years, well, now you get anxiety, because anxiety is, of course, worrying about the future, whereas depression is worrying about the past. So the point to take away here, technology, while it does make some things easier, doesn't always make them better. And in the book, Sapiens, he even argues that the elites, the leaders, the kings, the royalty, were the only ones that actually got benefit from the agricultural revolution. So basically they're talking about how these scientists think, well, through technology, we can reverse aging. Okay. And apparently they've been investing just tons of cash into these biotech companies. It was a huge thing just prior to the pandemic, and I assume it still is. And here's what they're doing. It says here, some biotech firms are developing drugs and infusions designed to clean up zombie-like cells and metabolic junk that accumulate with age. Others hope to infuse new vigor into flagging cellular components, such as stem cells, or spur the body into beneficial actions by adding obscure hormones or proteins that decrease as we get older. All right, and we'll go into that in a little bit more. Now you might be thinking, okay, they have all this science and ideas, like, when are we going to see it? Well, here's the thing. The elites already have it, okay? But here's the official sort of timeline. It says here, although the vast majority of these efforts remain in preclinical development, several have recently entered FDA trials and could potentially hit the market in a few years. Some are already appearing on the gray market, raising concerns that hucksters are peddling anti-aging snake oil. Others, meanwhile, worry what might happen if these drugs actually do deliver on the promise. Will poor young people be coerced into selling their blood to elderly billionaires? The answer is yes. You could argue if you want to subscribe to the adrenochrome, that's already happening through abduction. Will magical anti-aging pills become the province of the Park Avenue and Hollywood rich, like facelifts, hair plugs, and Botox injections? Will the rest of us senile peasants be forced to watch them age backwards as we are left to wither and die? Oh no! Oh no. Say it ain't so. And we're going to talk about the scientific details of how this happens. We're just kind of planning the general foundation of what this whole show and what this whole article is trying to get across. Now, if you look at, they give an example of back in 1993, they were manipulating genes successfully to increase age. It talks about in 1993, some biologists doubled the lifespan of a worm from 3 weeks to 6 weeks by mutating one single gene. And then that sparked a bunch of ideas about using drugs to increase longevity by targeting specific genes and diseases. And that's when they first thought, you know what, we might be able to control the process of aging. So they've been looking at this for, 30 years? And people, and that's the argument from the truthers, right? Is that these elitists behind closed doors are doing this kind of stuff. Doing the adrenochrome, taking the blood of the young, vampires, vampire facelifts or whatever they call it. And then it goes through this explanation of how evolution shows that mankind went through periods of starvation, okay? like when we're talking about like the hunter-gatherer type thing before the agricultural revolution. And that hunter-gatherer period of starvation messed with the insulin levels of our body, right? And the body would more or less see the starvation mode kicking in, and it would mess with the insulin levels in order to protect itself, to reduce inflammation. And some guy, he wrote some book about how if you restrict your calories, you'll live longer, and that was one of the ideas, I guess. But nowadays, that there's a drug called metformin that they think could be part of this process of anti-aging. It was on 60 Minutes like 2 years ago, if you saw that. But basically, they're doing tons of studies in the lab on different animals and worms to see if they can really extend life by basically stopping the aging process down at the cellular level. Now, they seek to do this down the cellular level. How are they going to do it? How are they going to tweak this? Well, through hormone therapy, through injection of proteins that start to fade as we get older. But now, what about these two nerds from Outcast that we talked about at the beginning? Well, the article describes their lab, and it's quite disturbing. Yes. They say the lab's full of mice with two heads and two sets of legs and two torsos. And the reason they do it is because there's this thing in science called parabiosis. And what they'll do is they'll cut two different mice in half and sew them together, and it heals as a new mouse with two heads or whatever. Called a twofer. They make a twofer. And then they study that twofer, and they think that what they think is that the stem cells stop receiving the signals needed to activate them as you get older. So the stem cells slowly sort of die off because they're not getting these signals that keep them alive and activated. And that's the million-dollar question. What are those signals? They don't know. They know that they exist in younger animals, and they die off as the animal gets older. So when you sew the two mice together, you sew an old one with a young one. And the idea is that they want to know, like, what is this signal? Well, let's just mash these two rats together, and that signal will get over to the old one. And sure enough, it worked. And to make things even worse, they actually, like, wound this crazy sewn-together rat to see how it heals. And it's pretty wild. They take the blood of the young mouse and put it into an old body, and sure enough, those stem cells get activated. It's like a very crude solution, but they got it to work. And then they thought, well, how do we fix the brain? We got to fix the brain. The Alzheimer's, the Parkinson's. And listen to this. I'm going to read to you again from the article. After conjoining elderly and young mice, Valeda sacrificed the elderly mice. Curious term there, sacrificed. Sacrificed the elderly mice, cut their brains into tiny slices, and stained them with a special dye that bound baby neurons. Then he counted out the number of new neurons, compared them to normal levels of neuronal growth in similarly aged mice. The results, when he published them in 2014, shocked the scientific world. The infusion of new blood led to a threefold increase in the number of new nerve cells generated in the brains of the elderly mice. But that wasn't the only revelation. He had already shown that the young members of the conjoined old-young mouse pairs generated far fewer new nerve cells than young mice left to roam free, untethered to their elderly cousins. And while the old mice grew more energetic, the younger mice suddenly behaved as if they were middle-aged. So they're basically saying, like, they can prove this, right? By sewing these rats together, they can kind of, like, prove that this idea of something kicking on those stem cells works. And that's one way to reverse the aging process. Then they thought, okay, maybe we should stop sewing so many mice together. Let's inject blood plasma into the old mice without, you know, doing all this nasty Frankenstein sewn stuff together. Because the problem is they're like, well, we can't experiment on humans this way, so we got to figure out another way. But I don't know about you guys. I've seen Human Centipede. It seemed like it worked out just fine. Just fine in that movie. But sure enough, they pump in the blood plasma of the young mice into the old mice, and boom. Old mice now smarter, younger, more handsome, bench pressing more at the gym. And then they did it vice versa. They put the old blood into the young mice, and the young mice just got dumber. They just got dumber. And they started settling down and watching Fox News and going to bed at 7:30. Oh, it's terrible. Terrible life. But now listen to this. Should you not be wondering about all of this and how it fits into the truther stuff? The results generated worldwide headlines, and soon Weiss, Carre, and his protege Valeda began receiving many bizarre and at times macabre emails. One chilling missive came from a man who offered to provide all the blood that Weiss Carre might need for such an experiment. He claimed he could obtain it from human children of any age. Huh. What's up with that? What do you think that's all about? You think that's where there's all those missing kids? I don't know that it'd be all those missing kids, but it's going to be some of those missing kids, right? Well, and then it talks about how Alkahest started the company. And turns out it was started by this billionaire in Hong Kong who died, and his family basically funded the startup. Because the dad, the patriarch, I should say, got this blood plasma infusion on his deathbed in 2012. He was dying from Alzheimer's, and he had this like sort of rejuvenation period of a few days. And the family was convinced there was something to that. Right? And the idea is like the blood loses its proteins or hormones and some kind of magic as it gets older. Now, there are some fringy places popping up. Like, if you're like, well, that doesn't mean people are doing this. Well, there are. In the article, it talks about, it says, in 2016, a former Stanford medical student named Jesse Carmazan opened up Ambrosia, a clinic in Monterey, California. Wasn't Ambrosia like the food of the gods or something? Intoxicating food of the gods? Anyway, this clinic opened up in California, offering to infuse clients with the blood of donors between the ages of 16 and 25 for $8,000 a liter. In December 2018, Huffington Post published an investigation claiming that the only patient who spoke publicly about Ambrosia's transfusions, treatments he hoped would help him live healthier into an old age, died at 65 after going into cardiac arrest. I don't know what they're trying to say. They're trying to say case closed. I mean, clearly, this is working. But then the article even talks about this ethical dilemmas. And, curiously enough, entertainment, which is where our worlds collide. They talk about that show on HBO, Silicon Valley. It says, if scientists are ultimately successful, hacking aging will raise troubling ethical questions, particularly when it comes to young blood. In the wake of those early papers, the popular television series Silicon Valley featured an episode in which a well-heeled dot-com billionaire had his own blood boy follow him around to provide transfusions. The idea that only old rich people can afford young blood is just uncomfortable, Barzilay says. Now, if you followed me since way back when I was making videos on the YouTube, you've seen the Silicon Valley Satanists video I had up there. Because the one character from the show is an openly admitted LaVeyan Satanist. Like, that's his whole shtick. In fact, I think the guy who plays the character, his name's Guilfoyle, right? I think he's now doing, like, commercials for insurance or something. But it's curious because this plot line is also on Mad Max Fury Road, if you've ever seen that. Using the people as the blood bag. So Hollywood has shown this to us more than once. Now let's take a high level view. Let's go to the conclusion. In conclusion, got a lot to talk about here. First off, let's talk about the mainstream media. I would like to point out, just to play devil's advocate here, because like truthers are always dogging on the mainstream media. They're always lying. Everything's fake news. And I'm always the one to be like, well, they lie. I get it. Like, true. But not 100% of the time. Like, they also were responsible for exposing, you know, people abusing people. Stuff like this, right? Like, they're telling you what's going on. And without them, like, who would tell us? We don't know. I'm not studying the biotech firms in Silicon Valley. So anyway, I just wanted to point out, like, they're not all bad, right? They're not all bad all the time. Now, are they part of the problem? Sometimes, yes. But you got to kind of like take a common sense approach sometimes. Now, adrenochrome, that's a theory, right? You got the theory of the frazzle drip video that supposedly like Hillary Clinton's like cutting off children's faces and stapling to her face so she could absorb the blood. I don't know if it's true. It sounds crazy. But that's the theory of the adrenochrome. And we've talked about adrenochrome ad nauseum. Go to the summer of 2020. We had like at the Wayfair show we did. We talked about it. We talked about it a million times. Surely you know about it. But my thing is, you know how like technology and gadgets, they're always like 20 years ahead of what the public realizes. And to me, I feel like, you know, back in 93, this article says they first started learning about this. So I'd argue like the people with the fat pockets have been, taking advantage of this. Where do they get the blood from the young people? I don't know. Sounds like there's a market for it already built up, the gray market. Now let's get into, real quick, let's get into the philosophies here. Why are they doing this? Why do I always talk about transhumanism and the quest for immortality? Why do they want it? They think it's the moral thing to do. It's the ultimate sign of superiority. It's like the highest level virtue signal that could ever exist. And to talk about this, I dug through a book. Let me get my book out. It's called The Matrix and Philosophy. Welcome to the Desert of the Real. And it's just a bunch of philosophy types talking about the film. And there's a section in there, and I'm going to paraphrase this to keep it from, because it's kind of a hard read. If you're not into philosophy, if you've ever tried to read a philosophy book, it's kind of tough. But basically it's saying there's, you know, philosophers from Plato to Buddha who have been talking about how the quote unquote real world is the shadow to the true reality. And the philosopher Immanuel Kant structured an argument about this. He says that, look, even physics and the laws of science, these are all built around man's observations. And these are very subjective. We don't know what the ultimate truth is. This is what René Descartes was trying to dig into. And if you read Yuval Harari's Sapiens book, that's what he says. He says, man's greatest strength is our ability to create myths. And create this consensus reality because it's good for communities and building tribes and creating the social construct and keeping people in line. You need this consensus reality where everyone believes it. And Kant says that the real reality is not to be found in the appearances of reality, because the appearances of reality are given to us through the filtering of the senses. The superego and the ego make this reality, and it's just a filter. And what we believe to be reality is just a projection of human consciousness. There's no such thing as an independent reality. There's no objective reality. It's more like a mutual consensus, subjective belief or myth. It's a myth that we all agree upon. Which is exactly, if you followed my book talking about Bitcoin and cryptos, we talked about fiat currencies. The American dollar is a myth that we all agree upon. And there's 7-8 billion people in the world that agree upon this myth. And there's people who don't believe that it's worth a damn and they want to, put Bitcoin up. Like, look, people are like, look, I don't trust the American dollar because of the Illuminati and the Federal Reserves. It's all a ruse. I'm going to invest in Bitcoin. Well, if you read Harari's book, he says, like, your imagined reality, to shift from one imagined reality requires, basically, you're just shifting to a different one. And each one has their own sort of, like, pitfalls, which is what I argue about Bitcoin, is like, sure, like, you don't have to trust in the banks anymore, which is cool. But now, like, it's the most traceable thing. The blockchain is there, and there's no, cash is ultimately more anonymous than a Bitcoin, basically. That's my take on it. But to stick to this argument here, Kant says that we, by believing in this objective reality and just being like, nope, this is what I see, this is the world in this black and white, basically Republicans, just kidding, I'm kidding, I kid, take it easy. But like, law and order and like good, bad, and like everything's black and white. If you do that, if you subscribe to that and die on that hill, you are abdicating, meaning you're not taking responsibility for your human experience. This is kind of a crazy, this is deep stuff. I mean, that's why it's philosophy, right? So let me sort of say it again. By putting your stock in this objective reality and the social construct and the social norms and good and evil and right and wrong, law and order, by dying on that hill and saying that's it and that's all there is, you are not taking responsibility for the human experience and the true freedom that you're supposed to have. You are limiting yourself. You're limiting yourself to the social consensus myth, the fake reality. And guess who creates that fake reality? The entertainment industry? The elites? The people in power. This is how the agricultural revolution happened. They convinced people to be farmers, and their lives got worse. In fact, he talks about it in the book. He says, we subscribe to the socioeconomic and political world in which most people are slaves to other people. You're abdicating. You're not taking responsibility for your freedom because it's easier this way, or so you think. If you recall in The Matrix, Agent Smith, he says that, look, there was this first Matrix and it was a perfect world, but mankind rejected it. And that humans define their reality through suffering and misery. And that's what Kant was saying. Kant, I don't know how to say his name. There's only one way out, and that's personal self-liberation. And Jesus showed us the model of the inner godlike potential for us to save ourselves. We have the free will to follow the path to freedom. But we're trapped in believing in the perceived world, which Kant and all these people are saying is a self-imposed illusion, not necessarily the Gnostic prison planet of an evil genius, but done because of human nature or whatever. Now, why are we talking about all this? Because it has to do with immortality and transhumanism. Because immortality, these folks believe, is necessary because they want to be moral. They want to elevate in consciousness. And to do so, one lifetime is not enough to learn all the lessons, to traverse the Kabbalistic tree of life, to master everything. So to achieve this ascended state of perfected being, they need to extend life, preferably to become immortal. And the Christian idea, to compare this to, is like, look, it doesn't really matter what we do in this world because we die and our souls are immortal in another sort of world after we die. But there's lots of folks who don't buy into that. The Hindus, the Buddhists, anyone who subscribes to reincarnation, they think that we keep getting reborn until we hit this perfected state in this world. Blavatsky called them the integrated ascended masters of theosophy. And the idea is that the soul is forced to be reborn over and over until it achieves perfection. So that's what these people want. They're like, look, we don't want to have to start from scratch at each birth. Think about all the wisdom you've accumulated. Think about the time advantage. If you could stretch your life to another 50 or 100 years, all the bad decisions you made when you were a teenager or in your 20s, it's more time to sort of counter your bad decisions. It's like financial investments and compounding interest. If you just would have started 20 years earlier. And this transhumanism is about defeating this prison of the human body. In fact, I'm going to read you from the article one more time. Aging is an invention of mankind. No animal species has successfully cheated its own body, cheated nature, except mankind. Elephants may live for 100 years, but they lived for 100 years a million years ago. Humans have outsmarted their own body. And that's what this is all about. The body is the prison. They got to figure out a way around it. Now, one way they're going to do this is, of course, with the technology, the digital consciousness, which we're not going to get into today. But this is the step they need. They need the blood of the youth to extend their lives. They got to get to 2045. That's when Ray Kurzweil says the singularity is going to hit. That's when the computers take over and we'll be in the digital matrix. We'll be digital avatars. The digital consciousness. And that's pretty close. That's like basically as far away as 9/11 is. So get ready, because that's coming. But ultimately, what this article and what this idea is all about, the nerds are going to kill us. But before they do, we're going to be giving up more blood, sweat, and tears to the elites so they can get ahead, just like they've always done. Just like Harari says in Sapiens, it's like the agricultural revolution all over. They dupe us into sacrificing our lives to make theirs better. And they're going to kill us eventually. So there you go. Hope you enjoyed that. That was a big article, a big to-do, and I wanted to break that down because I thought that was very important. And I thought you would enjoy it. And I'm glad you did. And if you want to get on the shout-outs next month, you know where to go. Hit the link in the show notes. Go to IlluminatiWatcher.com. Go to the VIP section. Check out the three supporter platform options. Only two of them get the shout-outs, though. That's Patreon and the VIP section. I don't have the capabilities to do it on Rockfin. But I don't care whichever one you like the most. You'll get ad-free content. You get bonus shows. I'm doing all these bonus Eyes Wide Shut episodes in April. You're going to love them. You're going to love them. All right, my friends. You know what to do. Until next time. Stay woke.